Today is Saturday, the 5th of August 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 93rd session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And on behalf of all of us gathering through Zoom and also through the live streaming, I would like to welcome Venerable Bante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero to today's program as usual. And I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining through the live stream of the Facebook page of the Satipatthasila Foundation and also through this Zoom session. Furthermore, we will run the program starting off with in-session mindfulness practice guided by Venerable Bante, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness, and today's topic is going to be OCD, and then we will move on to the question and answer session, and then we will wrap up the program. So I hope we can have a great session today with a lot of learnings on mindfulness practice, and I would like to invite Venerable Bante to commence with the to commence the session proceedings with the in-session practice. Over to Bante. Thank you. Much merits, Bante.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. So today, I think we can do a small activity related to the topic that we are discussing. So all of you, if you can gather a piece of paper and a pen, then we can start the activity. You can use the Zoom hand to show that you are ready once you have these things. I can see some of you are ready, so let's start the activity. Now we have a piece of paper. You have to write few things on this piece of paper. What are we going to write? We are going to write few intrusive thoughts that we have. They could be thoughts, they could be images, they could be impulses. So take your time to write few intrusive thoughts that you have in your life. Thinking, worrying about certain things, you might have these kind of things. So we are going to take some time to write your own experience about them. You have a piece of paper. You are going to write a few intrusive thoughts, certain obsessions that you have in your mind. You might worry over certain things. You might get certain impulses, certain images, these kind of things. So you can take your time to write certain things that you can remember. Just to make it clear, I have been discussing with certain people, and they mentioned that one of them mentioned that she worries about the future of her daughter. Right? So that's one of the intrusive thoughts she was having. Then somebody else mentioned about death, worrying about death. Then somebody else, another person, he mentioned about worrying about future. What's next? That's his worry. So depending on our thoughts, emotions, we might have various worries, intrusive thoughts. So that's what we are going to write. Okay, if you are ready, you can take turns sharing. Not sure whether you feel comfortable sharing. Otherwise, you can put it into the chat. Send it to Namant or somebody so they can share. Seems like Nadeep.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to share it. It's nothing to hide. The first and foremost thing was the losing my father when I was a very young age. I don't know. I couldn't say it's like worrying. It's like a feel bit of jealousy with the other kids, you know, when they join with their father. And, you know, I still remember it was my father who took me to the, you know, cricket matches when I was a kid. So he enjoyed, you know, watching me playing. And he's the one. He was very surprised when I said, because I'm kind of a math genius at the school, but when I told him that I want to play cricket, he was very surprised because we played cricket at our backyard, you know, back in Sri Lanka. And then he encouraged me to play the cricket as well. The second thing was the some opportunities I missed at the university because of my own negligence. You know, it keep coming back to me. You know, most of the time when I see the opportunity, even at the work, you know, if I had done this at that time, I would have to face this sort of, you know, challenges right now. Yeah, and then the other one was the I used to yell at my younger brother and sister, you know. If I, you know, rectify that now, I'm more than happy to, I don't know, you know, but now I'm very kind to them, but now, but yeah, I don't know whether I can rectify, go back and rectify it. Yeah, those are the three things I just want to share.
Yeah, go back in time.
I'm not worried about the future, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's because through the life experiences, I know it's, and also the what we learn through our practice, there's no way, you know, we can predict the future, what's going to be. Yeah, I don't worry about the future, but, you know, going back and rectify those things. And yeah, well, I don't know.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Thanks.
When it comes to such things, I don't think there's a fast solution, quick fix is there. Instead, you have to, you know, just accept them, just acknowledge them. That's all you can do. Let them be, because these things go deep and they go deep into our psyche. So it's just to acknowledge them and just, you know, let them be, right? So thank you for sharing. I think sharing would help. I can see Mihiri.
Namaste, Bante. It was interesting, the question, to write down these thoughts. The first thing that came into my mind were certain songs. When I haven't heard them for a while, and if I hear it, it then plays again and again intrusively in my mind, in the mind. And the other thought, I had to actually really think very deep, because I couldn't at least identify intrusive thoughts. It looks like I'm practicing and practicing, and I keep bringing everything back every time I'm. One of the things that came up was a person I dislike. That person comes into my mind on and off when I am not expecting that thought to arise. But I wouldn't quite call it intrusive. But those are the only two things I could actually think of. So I was a bit surprised.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. Now, that very reflection is important. We just reflect and see, okay, these are the things that I get often. Now, let's say favorite songs, right? Somebody, if you are practicing mindfulness, usually we think the songs are fun. Music, it's fun, right? So it's natural that we want to hear them. But if you are practicing mindfulness, although we enjoy these songs, music, you realize now when you listen to it for a few times, then even for days, it's in the back end of our mind. It's replaying. You can hear the background music. And the mind is again and again going through a never-ending loop kind of a thing. All right. So the mindful practitioner, usually they start to notice these things. So your observation is valid. When you listen to your favorite music, when you listen to your favorite songs, if you do it for few rounds, then you realize it is replaying, maybe for hours, maybe for days. So it's okay to listen to music, listen to songs. That's fine. I'm not trying to prevent that. But instead, see the side effects or see the backfiring of it, right? So for hours, for days, sometimes it is replaying. The mind is going through a never-ending loop, right? So it's good to reflect upon these and at least acknowledge, okay, I have these things. I have certain things that becomes somewhat obsessive, right? So thank you for sharing. I think Chamari is also there.
Avasarai Bhante. I also really needed to actually think about it. There isn't something that is always intrusive as thoughts in the mind, but I know on a like a background fear. I have this from time to time about the fearfulness of samsara. You know, after listening to many of the Dhamma talks, sometimes it comes into play when I'm maybe say not practicing or I've not had time to practice, that seemed to actually bring this thought of, whoa, you know, what's gonna happen, and so it's a future fear, but not always. And then couple of regrets from the past again, which part of the mind really knows there's nothing I can do about it by going back in time, which I can't do. But and the lessons have been learned from it. But sometimes when the mind is a little bit feeling low, when the thinking is a little bit low, the energy is low, if this comes, then it kind of proliferates, and then other things to do with low feeling, they also come join the party. So that's those are the two things I can actually mention.
Okay, they are good ones. Now, the first one, it's about the fear of samsara, right? So that comes as a result of the practice or results of certain teachings. So initially, it truly helps. It encourages you to practice. These things are helping you to, you know, think about the practice, think about how to execute this practice into your life. So they help initially. But when you pass that initial phase, when you are over that initial phase, then you realize some of the people, especially the ones who are not practicing meditation, instead only listening to Dhamma, just, you know, going to pujas and all those things. If they are not meditating, they get stuck here, right? So becoming fearful of samsara or doing all those things about, you know, body parts, those reflections, all those things, they get stuck there. So it's like, you know, you are supposed to move past this phase, but due to your fault or due to not knowing the proper path, you get stuck here, right? So that happens to most of the, you know, Buddhists, not the Dhamma followers, instead just Buddhism, right? So you are not going beyond the initial teaching. Instead, you repetitively listen to that only, right? Listen to Dhamma talks, going to pujas and all those kind of things. But when you pass that phase, you realize, oh, although they are helping initially, now you don't need that worry anymore. Now you are in the battleground. You are in the battlefield. You know that you are practicing. You know that you are a meditator. What else you can do in this life? How else you can utilize your time? You know, you at least do a few hours of meditation every day. Then that's the maximum you can do. Maintaining a household, doing all those things. If you do at least like few hours of meditation, that's enough. Right? So certain people, they get stuck in this phase. I know it is helping. Initially, it is very useful. But after you pass a certain phase, you have to realize now it doesn't matter anymore. I have met certain monks. They have sacrificed their entire life for the practice, for the teaching of Buddha. Still, they are worrying that fear of samsara, where will I go after death? Those worries are there. Being a monk, worrying about these things, sacrificing the entire life and worrying about these things. In one time, you know, one monk came to me and asked, aren't you worried about samsara? I said, Bhante, I have done this. I have sacrificed my entire life. What else I can do? If we are going to hell, then who won't? It's simple as that, you know. You do your best. Then the rest, Dhamma should take care. The rest, practice should take care. Right? You do your best. That's the way. Otherwise, you keep worrying, going through this repetitive loop. In the name of practice, it's going. That's the irony behind it, you know. In the name of practice, in the name of Dhamma, these thoughts are working. So if you are meditating, if you are doing your best, then you can let go of these things. I know it is not easy. But me personally, I don't worry much. You know, I think to myself, you know, I have done my best. What else you can do? Right? If I am going to hell, then let it be. After doing this much of practice, after sacrificing entire life, if I am going to hell, if I have to worry about it, then who else won't be there? Right? So that's the point. You know, you do your best. Trust the Dhamma, trust the practice. It should take care of you. Otherwise, we are always worrying, thinking about fear of samsara. I know they are helping initially, but afterwards, when it comes to meditation, it is always avoiding the present moment with these obsessions. You can see, instead of accepting this present moment, your mind is proliferating about the future, worrying about the samsara. That too is unmindfulness. That too is avoiding, bypassing the present moment. So you can see, for a meditator, these thoughts, they don't matter anymore. These worries, they don't matter anymore. But you have to do your best, you know, do your best. Then leave the rest for the practice. Trust the practice, have faith. It should take care of you. So that's the idea I want to give. Then the second one, uncertainty kind of thing, like boredom. Certain qualities, they are lying together and you feel there's no real value in this life or what else you can do, some kind of a boredom is there. So that too, in the name of the practice, in the sake of the practice, we consider it as a good quality. Because if you have certain goals, certain aims, then of course the mind is energetic. The mind is energetic. It is going after certain goals, aims, right? So the fuel is there. But when you have no goals, when you have no aim, then it is natural that you get the boredom. Boredom is a result of the practice. So you have to take it that way. You have to acknowledge it. This is a good thing. As long as I have the boredom, I have no defilements. When there is lust, there is no boredom. When there is anger, there is no boredom. They are energy driven, right? But when it comes to the practice, the uncertainty is there. Especially as a monk, in my life, I experienced there's this certain kind of a fear or an obsession about uncertainty, right? So you have accepted the uncertainty, right? So you don't know how the future will turn out, right? You have no plans, you have no, insurance or anything like that, right? So the uncertainty is there. It comes with boredom. It's a combination, uncertainty plus boredom. So that's something you have to, fight day and night. Again and again, these qualities, these feelings, these emotions are there. They are repeating. So you have to keep your mind occupied in something. Something, let's say, healthy distractions, we say. Right? Something that's not bad for you or the other people. You just do something neutral and keep your mind occupied. But you have to be aware of these qualities. You know that these uncertainty is there. You know that the boredom is there. You have to accept it. Accepting it takes time. Especially as a monk, I experience that uncertainty hits you. It hits you in certain levels. Sometimes, like very deep, it hits you. So you have to accept it. If you go find some solution, it will be either lust, it will be either anger. Those are the solutions. So uncertainty, it's a part of the practice. Boredom, it's a part of the meditation. You have to develop these qualities. You have to develop the strength of your mind so you are able to accept them. You are able to, just be with them. That strength you have to develop, right? So both points are valuable. And when we think about the practice, those are the ideas I can give.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Then Samanthi is there, right?
Thank you, Bhante. I won't take too long. Just basically, I just wanted to say the first thing that came to my head when we were doing this exercise was I felt guilty about how I reacted negatively to my mum yesterday to a stressful situation. And I felt really guilty about it. But then afterwards I thought about it and I realized the cause of it. I was trying to think why I did it, even though I was being mindful, because I was tired and I hadn't eaten all day. And the situation happened when I just sat down to have something to eat. And then my mum annoyed me. So then I thought, okay, forget it. There was a reason sort of behind it. I just told myself and not to keep on regretting about it. And then the other thing that stressful situations are just every day there's sort of a list of things to do, and I'm just sort of like getting fed up, all these things to do as a lay life, do this, do that. And so then I sort of like start thinking, oh well, just do whatever I can for the day. And that'll be it. No point in just stressing about it and forgot the rest of the list and do it another day if I can't do it. And finally, these constant things that, part of the list is like, at the moment we had to go through car emissions and any old cars like my dad's got, we had to sort that out. And, the government is, the council is forcing people to sell their old, get rid of their old cars. Otherwise, they had to pay £12.50 a day just to move their car from their drive. And so I had to go and make an application and do all that. So never-ending list to do. So that was sort of like every day, something to sort out, and the issues you have with the councils, and even getting my own drive, something sorted out, some, you know, I feel unreasonable. So basically, yeah, just that's it really, you know, just things to do, but just trying to let go and just be sometimes, you know, I can't be bothered and be with regret. I thought, you know, but it doesn't always happen that way. You just get negative situations. That's all really I wanted to share, basically. Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, thanks for sharing. Now, certain things, they are temporary. Within few days, within few hours, they might pass. When it comes to these intrusive thoughts, usually they are here to stay. That's one of the qualities of these thoughts, impulses, right? Now, for example, that you mentioned about things to do, to-do list could be a real source of obsessions. Right, you have 101 things on your to-do list. Towards the end day, you really get obsessed with it. You can't even finish 10% of it, right? So you get obsessed over a to-do list. So those things, in a way, they are helping. In a way, they could be a source of obsession. They could be a source of stress or anxiety, right? So what we can do is that we can be aware of whether these to-do list things to do, they are creating additional stress. They are used as a tool to, you know, plan your life, make it easier for you. But they end up consuming much energy, creating obsessions. So when it comes to that point, you have to realize whether it is helping or whether it is not helping. Then you might have to do certain things, especially with the to-do list. You can, you know, create a small, only few things you have per day, and you are happy when you complete those things. Make it smaller, make it attainable. So those things you can do, right? So you have to experiment, you have to see. How can you improve? So for certain people, it works well. They are not stressed at the end of the day. But for some, it becomes a source of stress. It becomes an obsession. So those things we can really be aware, and you only can find solutions. Nobody else can suggest. You know, you know your mind. You know what you have on your list. So you only can find solutions. Based on the observations that you do. Mindfulness, that's the way. Thank you for sharing. Mm.
Thank you, that's helpful. Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, I think that's enough for the activity. I think we are out of our time. So next, Namanthi, you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante, and much merits to Bhante and also to all those who spoke and shared their questions and statements. Now, the next session item is going to be the talk on OCD. So I would like to again invite Bhante on behalf of all of us to provide us with much valued insight on OCD as a mindfulness topic for today. Over to Bhante again. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanthi. Hello, everyone. So we can spend some time talking about this topic. First, I have to mention I am not qualified to, you know, talk about these things, right? Obsessive compulsive disorder, right? So I am not going to talk about, you know, as a qualified person. Instead, I would talk from the viewpoint of practice, how we can really relate this type of a topic into our day-to-day life, into the mindfulness practice, and how we can relate our own experiences, our own observations into this type of a topic. So this is, I don't know, psychologically certain markings are there. That's a field for the professionals. but we can discuss from the viewpoint of the practice. Now, when it comes to this idea, this disorder, it is said obsessive compulsive disorder. Now, for a practitioner, there is certain observations, right? If you are mindful, if you at least know what mindfulness is, then you might have your own observations. Based on the practice, you might have, right? So as a mindful practitioner, we are aware of the present moment. That's what we do, right? So you have to develop this awareness little by little. You can't rush it. Instead, you spend some time daily practicing. As mindful walking, mindful sitting, you can practice. For a beginner, we say, you have to verify your body. You have to feel the steps. You have to feel the breath. You have to feel your body. That way you know for sure that you are present. Every conscious step, it counts. Every conscious breath, it counts. Now that way you have to gradually develop your practice. Little by little you are developing. Right? So that's the idea. Every day 30-40 minutes of mindful sitting can you do. Every day at least like, you know, walking here and there daily, can you be aware that your body is walking? This way you have to gradually develop your practice, improve your mindfulness, right? So that is the starting point of the practice. We have basic instructions, we have certain videos you can watch and start your practice. Once you complete few hours of practice, you can share your experience. Experience sharing is very important because I know you are sitting, I know you are walking, but that doesn't mean you are meditating. You have to make sure that you are doing your attention, you are directing your attention correctly. That verification you have to get. That's why we encourage you to share your experience. So that way you start practicing. Little by little, more you practice this, more you are aware of your mind, of the thoughts, of the emotions, of the impulses. We are not directly going after the thoughts. We are not directly going after the emotions. We are not directly going after the impulses. That's not what we do. If I tell you, go observe your thoughts, that's incorrect. I wouldn't give that advice. Instead, I say, just know that your body is walking. Know that your body is breathing. Know that your body is doing your daily activities. Do that observation. Now, when you do that observation, what is the result? You realize now your mind is jumping to various thoughts. Although you try to keep your attention with the body, it is not happening. Again and again, the mind jumps to certain thoughts, impulses, certain obsessions come, right? So that's your observation. As a practitioner, you know that I get these type of thoughts. Maybe as a byproduct of the practice, you get this insight. You get insight into your thoughts. You get insight into your impulses. You get insight into your obsessions. So that practice, when it matures, you start to know, you start to feel that you are getting these type of thoughts. You are getting these type of impulses. You are getting these type of mental images. Some of them might be intrusive thoughts. Some of them might be intrusive impulses. Some of them might be intrusive images. So that's your own observation. When you practice mindfulness, as a result of practice, you will become aware of these thoughts. You will become aware of these images. you will become aware of these impulses. In a way, all of us, we have certain obsessions in our mind. We worry over certain things, depending on our mind, depending on our unique situation. We have unique worries. We have unique obsessions, right? So it depends on you. Even today's activity, the idea was to just reflect upon your situation and come to know your own obsessions. Become aware of them, right? So the obsessions are there. For everybody, the obsessions are there. In our mind, the obsessions are there, right? So that's one point. We have our own obsessions. Okay, so with the practice, more and more light shed into these things. You get to know these obsessions more and more. For the practitioners, we recommend not to suppress these obsessions. Suppressing is not good. Now, even today, I was having a discussion with somebody. That person was saying that although I do the walking meditation good, I can't do my sitting meditation. I asked them why. Then that person was saying, because of the certain past memories, I can't do my sitting meditation. Although I feel the breath, my mind repeatedly goes to these thoughts incidents. So that's what her experience is, right? So I asked her, is this a part of your meditation or is this something separate from your meditation? Her wording is that it's something separate. It's an obstacle for my meditation. But actually, when it comes to true meditation, this is the real meditation. You know where your attention should be. If it is sitting, if you feel the breath, that's the breath. If it is walking, if you feel the steps, that's the walking. We can say the touch of the feet. You know where your attention should be. Now, will it stay there? If you are dealing with this mind, it won't stay there. Again and again, even in between two breaths, in between two steps, this mind is jumping, going after various things, thoughts proliferating. That's where these obsessions come. That's where these impulses come. That's where these images come, right? So you come and complain, I can't do my meditation because of these thoughts, because of these impulses, because of these images. That's a usual, common complaint that we get. But you have to tell them again and again, this is a part of your meditation. Meditation is not about staying with your breath forever. Instead, when your mind jumps, how can you redirect it? How can you bring it back to the breath again? That is the true meditation. Your mind jumps, you become aware that you have gotten lost, then you correct itself. Again, it jumps. You become aware that you have gotten lost, then again you correct yourself. Again and again you have to do this. That is the real meditation. So in a way we acknowledge that I get these thoughts, that I get these impulses, that I get these images. Then gradually, skillfully, you bring your attention back to the breath. You bring your attention back to the steps. That's the true meditation. That's the true practice. Otherwise, if you say, I did sitting meditation for 1 hour, for the entire 1 hour, my attention was with the breath. then I would say, inquire more. Be more attentive and see whether this statement is true. Usually, that is not how mind works. Again and again, it goes after these thoughts, impulses, images. So when that happens, you have to be skillful. That is where the wisdom is born. This comes with the faculty of wisdom. There is a mix of wisdom here. When something goes wrong, that's where you can measure the wisdom. When something unexpected happens, that's where whether you can measure whether this person is wise or not. That happens when you make mistakes. That happens when your mind jumps to a certain thoughts or images. Then can you navigate back to the breath? Can you navigate back to the steps? That's the skill. So that's what we are training. That's what we are practicing while meditating. Again and again, we skillfully bring our mind back to the breath. We skillfully bring our mind back to the body. Again, it jumps. Again, it goes after these intrusive thoughts, images. Again, you skillfully navigate yourself back to the body. So that's the true practice. And there is a mix of wisdom here. That's how you can truly find peace. Otherwise, if you only stay with the breath, then that peace is temporary. Many people, they don't like this practice. They say, I need samadhi. I want concentration. I need samatha meditation. That's what they do. In a way, it's avoidance. Avoiding the reality. Avoiding these intrusive thoughts, images. Trying to stay in some state that where you feel high. Not much different from the drugs. When you consume drugs, what's the purpose? You need to stay in a high state. You need that high. Only for a few hours, it'll last. Again, you need a dose tomorrow. Again, you want to feel that high. So when you go after these blissful things that you get in meditation, when you only need samadhi or concentration, then that's a form of high. That's a form of drug that you're after. Many people, they don't like this practice because you feel the reality. You feel the thoughts are difficult. You feel the impulses are difficult. You feel the images are difficult. They are intrusive. So avoidance feels much better, but it's not a lasting solution. So you can really see this is where the faculty of wisdom develops. When your mind jumps into thoughts, images, if you know how to navigate back to your body, that's the wisdom that we are talking about. When the difficulties come, if you know how to navigate in those situations, that's the wisdom that we are talking about. If you know how to navigate in a stormy sea, that's the wisdom that we are talking about. So really, it helps with the practice. That is where your practice matures. That is how you can, distance yourself from this world. You can function in your day-to-day life. You can talk to other people. You can go to work. You can, raise your children. But you have a certain distance from this world. That's the distance of wisdom that grows in the practice, that develops in the practice. So you can see the obsessions are there. These intrusive thoughts, impulses are there. But we acknowledge them. We are not suppressing them. You develop strength to accept them. With that acceptance, you know how to navigate your energy into your breath, how to navigate your energy into your body. So in a way, now these obsessions are common to us. We all have obsessions. Then when it comes to this disorder OCD, they mention about compulsions as well. Compulsions are there. You have to do certain things in order to relieve the anxiety of these obsessions. So even in our life, we might have certain compulsions that we want or we need in order to relieve this anxiety. You have to do certain acts. When you do them, you feel better. Right? So the compulsions are there. In our life also, we have obsessions, we have compulsions. Right? These are the things that we do in order to relieve this anxiety. Some people, they exercise. Some people, they overeat. Some people, they are addicted to social media. Various things are there. Your own version you have. Right? Now, but we are here talking about this disorder. How does it become a disorder? It becomes a disorder when you connect these two together. Certain obsessions are there. You have to do these compulsions in order to relieve those obsessions or the anxiety. Again and again, these two are linked. They are connected together. You have these obsessions. And if you want to feel better, you have to follow these compulsions. Right? So that's how it becomes a disorder. Otherwise, all of us, we have these qualities within us. If you are aware of your mind, you know that you have them. If you are saying you don't have them, I am saying you're not aware. You should be more aware. Then you'll find a better answer. So if we are aware of our mind, we know that we have them. But most of the time, what happens is that how it becomes a disorder, you connect these two. Obsessions are there. You have to follow these compulsions in order to relieve that anxiety. That's how it becomes a disorder. Now, when it comes to this, certain people, they have certain, you know, alignment. You have to arrange your working table like this. This is the place for the pens. This is the place for the cup. This is the place for the laptop. If it is somewhere else, then you can't function. Right? You have color coding. These color brushes are for this section. These color brushes are for this section. If it is get mixed, then you are anxious. Certain patterns you follow while you walk. I have to step on these tiles, right? If I step outside, then I have to go back to the beginning and restart. If I'm drawing a line, I have to draw it straight. No other way is accepted, right? So that's how they are linked together. It's a very nice way. Even during the COVID pandemic, many people, they were obsessed of, hand washing. Washing the hands again and again, 1,001 times you do. Still, you end up having COVID, but you wash your hands. Right? So you can see how common they are in our life. In our mind, we have these things. But when you pass a certain limit, when you cross a certain line, it becomes an obsession. It becomes a disorder, right? When you cross a certain line, when you cross a certain point, it becomes a disorder. So that's what happens, right? Otherwise, the obsessions are there. In our mind, we have them. The compulsions are there. In our mind, we have them. That's there. Still, when you cross a certain point, when you cross a certain line, it becomes a disorder. You connect these two. You have to follow these patterns. Otherwise, something bad would happen. Those thinking thoughts, those patterns are fixed into your mind. So when you are aware, you start to see these patterns. When you are mindful, you start to notice these obsessions and these compulsions. That's very important. In our practice, it's really important. More and more light we shed into these observations. We know that these obsessions are there. We know that these compulsions are there. That way, you have to, little by little, overcome these things. Initially, it's hard. You can't do it quickly. So what we say is that let them be. Just continue with your observation. Again and again, you do the same observation. Know that they are there. Know that the obsessions are there. Know that the compulsions are there. Just be aware of them. That very awareness is helping. That very awareness is important. Now, in the practice also, if sometimes there are obsessions due to the practice, let me share one of the obsessions. They say, I want to stay with the breath 100%. That's an obsession, right? And their attitude, their way of practice leads them into more anxiety because they don't like the change. They don't like accept the reality. Some people, they don't even like the walking meditation. They say meditation. If you say meditation, it's only sitting. That's their idea. If you say meditation, you have to feel good. You have to stay with the breath. So you can see that faculty of wisdom is not developed. Faculty of wisdom is not there. In a way, you are developing a quality in your mind, but that quality is not healthy. If you say your mind has to be there 100% all the time, if you say if your attention is not there, then your meditation is bad, then that developing quality is not good. It will create more and more anxiety. I have really seen this. Some people, due to the practice, they create more anxiety. They become even more change resistant due to the practice. Now, in this practice, the basic principle is uncertainty. This too shall pass. That is the basic principle. But with the name of the practice, for the sake of the practice, they develop the exact opposite quality. And as a result, it becomes an obsession. They don't like seeing other people's faults. They don't like seeing their own faults. Only they get anger. Only aversion they feel. Aversion towards the other people. Aversion towards the oneself. As a result of the practice, this comes. That is the irony. If you just enjoy, you know, your life, if you just do those sense pleasure thing, this won't come. But when you start practicing this way, if your practice is wrong, as a result of that practice, you get more and more anxiety. You get these obsessions. And you become even more anxious. The practice is not helping you. It has become an obsession. You can really see these people. If they are sweeping, they want to sweep in a certain pattern. If they are doing something, they want to align everything. If they are creating their bed, no wrinkles should be there. It should be perfect. But when it comes to the reality, when it comes to the practice, no matter how mindful you are, still it becomes imperfect. You can't go after perfection in this world. This is a tilted world. 23.4. Tilted to its axis. So how can you find perfectionism in this world? If you go after it, you become, you create more and more anxiety as a result. So you have to really be careful when it comes to these things. It comes under the name of the practice. When these obsessions come, it is not easy to correct yourself. They become a pothole. The same practice becomes a pothole for you. So that's why we say, let the mind wander. Once in a while, just know that you are breathing. Once in a while, know that you are placing your steps. Just let the mind wander. Even in your day-to-day life, you don't have to be 100% mindful. Just once in a while, just be mindful. Yesterday, there was a person in his very first meditation report. He was saying, I was practicing Sammasati. I told him, just practice at least like bare attention, not even sati. Just practice bare attention. Forget about Samma. It's his very first meditation report. He's practicing Sammasati. So that's how the same practice that should be helping you becomes an obstacle. So you can see how important the role of the teacher. You have to give them proper advice. If you are giving them advice, it's important that you give them proper advice. Otherwise, it's better you just keep your mouth shut because you are not helping. Even the entire audience, they are misguided because of the wrong advice. So that's why we say, meditator, just do once in a while. Just practice bare intention, right? Let the mind wander again and again. Once in a while, know that your body is breathing. Know that your body is walking. Know that you are doing your daily activities. Let the practice mature itself. You can't rush this. It takes years sometimes. Every day you do your part. Just forget about it. Tomorrow also it's a new day. You do your part. Again, you forget about it. That way if you do, it won't become an obsession. Just, you know, for the sake of practicing, I'm doing 30 minutes of sitting. That's my practice. Every day I do. Then rest of the time, I enjoy my life. You don't have to worry about fear of samsara or anything. Just, you know, live your life. Practice. Every now and then practice. Again, you know, enjoy your life. Live your life. Just see the nature. Just notice the sound of a bird. Notice that the color of the sky. That way, you have to take a gradual approach. Little by little, you are developing. Little by little, you allow your practice to mature. You can't really force it. That's not possible. Right? Otherwise, only the obsessions will be there. Even before you were going after sense pleasure, you were fine. Now you are going after meditation. Now even more anxiety. So that's the basic idea about these obsessions and compulsions. You have to be mindful and see how your own mind is creating this trap for you. It's like your own mind is bullying you. Not somebody else, not an outside person, your own mind. you have to follow these patterns. You have to follow these orders. If something happens, it should happen this way. If you are writing, you have to align yourself, you know, it should be straight. Those are the own bully, self-bully. When it comes to me, I don't have that attitude. Even I write, I can't write straight, you know. I write, my handwriting, people can't read. Some people, they are coming and asking, at least, can you read this? You are the writer, can you read this? I'm saying, I can read. You manage your own thing. My handwriting, I can read. So luckily for me, it's not much of a problem. I don't, you know, have that quality much. You know, it's not a problem for me. Usually whatever I do, I don't expect much results. I have certain acceptance towards, you know, mishaps. Right, so you have to reflect upon yourself and see what your attitude, what are the obsessions that you have, what are the compulsions that you have. That very observation is important. These things go deep. You can't get rid of them overnight. And so just accept them, let them be. But at least know that these obsessions are there. These compulsions are there. Some of them are connected. Some of them are linked. That very observation, if you do, if you have that acceptance with time, I'm saying with time because these things go deep. With time, within few months, within few years, you realize that their strength is reduced. Their energy is reduced. Still the obsessions are there, still the compulsions are there, but it's not a disorder, right? That realization you will find. So thank you for listening. Do your own practice and try to shed more and more light into these things.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much merits for that wonderful and insightful talk. A very relevant topic. I'm sure all of us have experienced this issue within us in day-to-day life. Next, we have the question and answer session coming up, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence the session.
Thank you, Namanta. Avasarai, Bhante. That was a very useful talk on obsessive compulsive disorder. We will start by sharing some basic guidance on how to practice and how to write a report. As the slide that we have shared here, we have two videos provided by Nisaranuwanaya to help us in starting our journey to mindfulness practice. First one is about walking meditation. The next one is about sitting meditation. Once you have watched these, then you can think of putting them in your own words and write to us in a report in mindfulness, walking and sitting, and then include something about day-to-day mindfulness as well. When you start the practice, I can see that some of you may be beginners, judging by the comments that we have received on the Google form. Some of you have are struggling to write the report or not unsure as to what the report writing is about. I think you may have even answered some of your questions in the session today, but if not, this is the way to follow, is to start your practice even with 5 minutes and then gradually increase for to an hour on each kind of meditation, walking, sitting, and then try and allocate some time for the daily mindfulness. And write your report and send it to us. As some of you already know, there's a Google form and there is an email address, beginnersnv@gmail.com. either of these methods are fine, send it to us and we will then share it to present it to Bhante for his feedback. Now, I think we'll be sharing all this information in the chat. If you need the links, you can copy them. And if you have any more questions, ask us. We'll be able to help you. So when I mentioned the Google form this week, we have received a couple of comments that didn't have anything in the comment section. So if you're unsure, please write to us. We will help you with that. There is one question. I will start off with that question and present it to Bhante because that has come through to us on the Google form, possibly by a beginner. They may have even found the answer in today's session, but I will present it anyway to Bhante. So the question goes, I practice mindfulness at home. The major problem I have is that thoughts are flowing to my mind, always preventing me from concentrating on meditation. This distracts me. I like to continue. Please help, Bhante.
Okay, without even knowing the question, we answered, right? So if you listen to today's discussion, or the talk, you might find the answer to this, right? So you don't have to worry about thoughts. Let them be. That's a part of your meditation, right? So just know how to bring your attention to the body. Tell us when you meditate, if you are doing sitting meditation, start with the sitting meditation. If you are doing walking meditation, write the walking meditation. Then tell us, what do you feel when you sit comfortably? Do you feel your breath? Do you feel the belly moving up and down? Or do you feel your body? That's where you have to start. At least if you sit 20 minutes, you can observe at least single breath you can observe, no? If you are saying that's impossible, then I don't think it's correct. Or among all these thoughts, at least a single breath you can observe. At least a single step you can place. Right? So start with that. Don't talk about the rest of the time. Don't talk about thoughts. Instead, talk about that single step that you have observed. Talk about the single breath that you have observed. Okay, I have practiced mindfulness. This is how I feel my breath. And that's how you have to start. I have practiced walking meditation. This is how I feel my steps. That's how you have to start. Then you can say simply, rest of the time, my mind was lost. That's fine. Not to worry. That's how we start meditation. In a way, it's brainwashing you. The same thing, you know. The mind is, this is how the mind is. Now your attitude is, this is bad, this is disturbing my meditation, this is not good for my meditation. That's your attitude. But I am saying, this is the proper way of practice. Let the thoughts be. Among these thoughts, tell us whether you feel your breath. Among these thoughts, tell us whether you feel your steps. At least a single breath you feel. At least a single step you feel. That's where you have to start. That's how you have to, you know, progress in your practice. Then the next challenge is, can I make it two breaths, two conscious breaths within 20 minutes? Can I make it two steps, two conscious steps within 20 minutes? It's not difficult. Little by little, the same thing. Among these things, you know that you're breathing. Among these thoughts, you know that you're walking. That is the very practice. Now you can see how the wisdom is mixed into this. The thoughts are there, but you are not wasting your energy talking about them. You are wise. You, among these thoughts, you know that your body is breathing. Among these thoughts, you know that your body is walking. That is the part of wisdom. That is the mix of wisdom in the practice. Right? So in a way, we are brainwashing you. Whether you meditate or not, it'll be the same thing. Right? Now you are complaining. You are saying this is not good, this is bad, these things, they have happened to me, that's why I'm not happy. This person left me, that's why I'm sad. Right? So all those excuses you give. When you meditate, nothing will change. Only the attitude towards these things. That's what we want to change. We are saying, okay, I know that you have so much trouble. I know that you have so many difficulties. I know that you are a sick person. But do you know that you are breathing? Then they say, yes, Bhante, I feel the breath. But I am a sick person. I have this trouble. The leg is aching, paining. Well, a part of my body is paralyzed. They again go back to their usual dwelling place, the negativity. Again, I say, okay, I know your body is paralyzed, but do you know that your body is breathing? Yes, Bhante, I feel the breath, but my left side is paralyzed. Left leg is paralyzed. Again, they go back to their non-dwelling place, negativity. So whether you meditate or not, nothing will change. Only the attitude, the experience will be the same. The body is the same. The difficulties are the same. The problems are the same. Surrounding people, they are also the same. What's the change? Change is your attitude towards them. Your body is sick. Same sickness as before. But now you are welcoming it. You know that my body is sick. What to do? You know that this weather is bad. What to do? Even Namantha was talking to me earlier. You were talking about the weather. So here it's like boiling in Sri Lanka. If you haven't visited for a while, this is the time to visit. As soon as you get out of the plane, you feel you are in a boiling pot. Humidity, that's the issue, right? So the weather is the same. Whether you meditate or not, it doesn't change. What is the change? Your attitude. You know that the weather is bad, what to do? When I sit in meditation, I feel that my body is boiling. Okay, that's fine. That's a good observation. So that's how you have to approach. Whether you meditate or not, nothing will change. It's only the attitude. The suffering will be the same. The pain will be the same. But your attitude will change. The sickness, you will die the same way. But your attitude towards your death will change. The surrounding people, they too might die. But your attitude will change. You consider them as opportunities for you to meditate. Right? So that's how the proper approach, that's how you have to do. And Sonali, you mentioned about the report writing as well. So you have to start somehow. Just write few sentences and send. That's where you have to start. Otherwise, if you keep postponing, if you wait for the perfect report in some unknown future day, I would say it's this OCD, related to OCD. You are waiting to write the perfect report. 100%. You have to, with a single report, you have to become an extreme entry. That's not how it works. It's a writer faulty report. Right? Write a report full of faults. That's a good starting point. That's a good sign of a, you know, meditator. Otherwise, we become, you know, we encourage these obsessions, even with the practice. So start somewhere, just write a few sentences and send. Then you'll get a feedback. Based on that, you can correct yourself. Even due to this question, now everybody is benefiting. So that's how it is.
Thank you, Bhante. I hope that answered your question. There was another person writing to us saying they're a mental health nurse. So I'm hoping today's session would have benefited them, but there was no report on that. And I hope they can also share their professional view on this subject if they need to share at some point. I will move on to the reports, two reports we have received today, Bhante. The first one watching breath primary as a primary object, in and out breath noted, which were equal in length to begin with and then disappeared, observed expansion and contraction of chest and movement of abdomen. Mind went back to nostrils and stayed till breath reappeared and disappeared again. Perceived parts of body disappearing. However, hands still noting to be heavy, warm, and tingling, one hand on the other. Mind wandered and thoughts observed to appear, and mind came back to breath. Breath was very subtle most of the time. Mind wanted to finish the sitting, but had made a determination not to open eyes to stay sitting till alarm went. Sat for the full duration of 45 minutes. Mind calm, some mild pains observed, but not distracting. Noted relief when alarm went. Walking meditation. Walking, watching contact of feet on ground as primary object. Heel, midfoot and toes observed when each foot was being placed on the ground. When lifting, lack of contact noted. The warmth of foot, cooler floor, hard tile, softer foot, heaviness of foot being placed, lightness when foot being lifted or noted. The feeling, nature of each part of foot touching the ground and losing contact observed. The dislike to some sensations and preference for others observed. The inner chatter at times observed, but mind came back to feet spontaneously. Walked for 30 minutes. Mindfulness in the day. A sibling recently sent me a message with a link to a song saying it reminded him of me. I could not even remember the song till I listened to it. The song then kept playing again and again in the mind. Noted the pleasant feeling that arose. The thoughts of past memories related to the song. How it could be sung into a little child in the future. I found myself humming it at the time. I reflected on it as clinging to it, and it finally passed after several days. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, in your report, you mentioned something that you were observing breath, then your mind wandered. Then again, when you returned to your breath after a while, the breath was subtle, right? That comment was there. So when this happens, you can see now for a few minutes, your mind was wandering. Again, it returns to the breath. Naturally, it returns, it seems, right? And you can see the breath is same. It is subtle, right? That means that in between, no defilements you have gathered. Although the mind wandered, the mindfulness was intact. That's why you feel the breath still subtle. Otherwise, if the mindfulness was broken in between, if your mind was shaken, then you will return to a chorus breath. The breath is rough, right? It was subtle earlier, now it is rough due to that shaken mind. But in your report, you are mentioning that it was subtle earlier. When you return also, it is subtle, right? So that's a good observation that suggests us, although the mind wandered, your mindfulness was intact. That's the essence of the practice. That's the mix of the wisdom I was talking about. Now the thoughts are coming, but the mindfulness is intact. Right? So that's a turning point in your practice. Now you don't have to worry about bringing your mind forcefully. And so do you know that it is wandering, but it is naturally returning to your breath. And when it returns, your mindfulness is not shaken. That's a very important thing. I think some time back somebody was saying that you can't meditate. You can't meditate because you can't focus on the breath. You have been focusing on breath earlier, but no more. Now you can't focus on your breath. That complaint was there, I think, last week's. Right? So what can we do? I told her, let your mind wander. Let it send kites. notice whether your mindfulness is shaken. Although it is not in breath, you have mindfulness. You have mindfulness. That confidence is important. In your practice also, you are mentioning that, right? Then towards the latter part of your report, you are mentioning a song, childhood memories, right? So these things, it's fun. You know, again, it's helpful in the practice as well. It brings a lot of past memories. Now, in your report, you are mentioning that although you enjoyed the song, you mentioned to yourself that this attachment is not good. Then you let it go, right? But what I am saying is that, or what I may suggest is that, just let it play again and again. Till you become sick of that song, you have to play it. Right? Because now you are forcing your mind. You are advising your mind. Attachment is no good. Right? So we have to let go of this song. But if you get sick of this thought, then naturally letting go is the only available option. Now you are forcing yourself. Now in the future, let's say in 10 years, again this person is sending the same song. Again you are enjoying that song. After 10 years, after 10 long years, you'll be still enjoying this song. But if you get sick today, listening to it 101 times, then no more attachment would be there for the future. Right? This is the practice. Some of you might not agree with me, but you have to put it into practice and see. Now you are forcefully letting go. Is it true letting go? Probably not. Right? But if you get sick of this, then definitely you won't enjoy it again. So in my life, I have certain, you know, things that I enjoy, especially certain TV shows. I have watched so many times. I'm not going after new TV shows. When I was, you know, doing my studies and I was working, I kept watching the same TV show for like, I don't know, for the 10th time. Right? What happens? You enjoy. First you enjoy. Second time also you enjoy. Third time also you enjoy. But when you watch it for like 10, 15 times, you get sick of it. Now you see the TV show, you know that this is the part that's playing. This is the dialogue, you know everything. But you have no attraction towards it because you are sick of it. Even some people, they like sense pleasure. So they are asking how to avoid sense pleasure and how to meditate. How Bhante, will you advise me? Because I am not interested in meditation. I am interested in sense pleasure. So what is your advice? They are asking. So my advice is do the sense pleasure. Do it again and again till you become sick of it. One day you realize, I'm sick of this sense pleasure. It has brought me so much suffering. And that day you will be ready for the meditation. That day you'll have more energy towards the practice. Otherwise, my wording, will it change anything? It won't change. Your mind hasn't matured to that level. You have to go after sense pleasure, get sick of it. Then only you will be interested in meditation. Otherwise, forcing to practice won't work. Right? So it's that's how it is. You have to allow it to mature itself. That's why many people, they don't like these type of programs. They attend 1 or 2 weeks, then they forget about it. Maybe after a few years, they come back. Because now they are sick of the things that they were running after. If you are staying here, if you attend, you know, weekly, I know you have learned that lesson. So that's how it is. Try to continue and try to see.
Thank you, Bhante. I will quickly move on to the last report. mindful walking, walked on carpeted floor, noted the body in standing position at the beginning, weight on both knees and the warmth of clothes on the upper back felt. Walk started with right foot lifting, noted thigh muscles contracting while the foot was moving above ground. Warmth of the carpet felt when placing each foot on the floor. Walking continued at a natural pace. Attention moved to sounds and returned to feet movements. Thoughts emerged from time to time. Again, the attention returned to the process of walking. Clothes touching the ankle noted as warm. And air felt cool when lifting and moving feet. Walked for 40 minutes. Mindful sitting, sat on the cushion, and after a quick body scan, the breath appeared around nostril area. In-breath cooler, out-breath warmer. Noted the upper back straightening a little. Felt the pins and needles sensations in the toes and fingerprints. It was like a sharp, warm air wave pushing through fingertips and like that thin air wave breaking up and dissolving. Breaking up felt as heat. Attention returned to breath again, which was subtle. Feeling of ease noted in the sitting position. Subtle rocking back and forth movement of the body noted. Slow rhythm of breath felt with rise and fall of stomach. Few thoughts emerged, then fell away. There was a calming effect in the mind, which continued for a while after the sitting session. Sat for 45 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. There was a situation emerging and quickly becoming aware of the restlessness, agitated feeling in the mind. This stress was due to having more things coming into the schedule as very important, but no extra time being available. Choice of just taking care of current task appeared in the mind. This helped reduce the restlessness. And in the midst of this, there was a reminder to get weekly food shopping done as well. Usually the mind would resist and ignore the reminder because it was a busy day with many work tasks. However, it was also an opportunity to see if mindfulness could be put into practice here. This day at the supermarket, there was a subtle difference to the usual process of restlessly putting things into the trolley in the hope of getting back to work tasks quicker. Mind felt calmer while ticking things off the list, although it felt like more time was used for this process. Actually, the shopping was completed about 20 minutes earlier than usual. This was a really useful experience of attending to the things mindfully, which can at times feel like slowing right down and still completing the task early. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to the organizers. End of report.
Okay, so that's a good experience, good insight into the practice. Now you know the benefit. Now you know how efficiency matters, right? Efficiency is important. Otherwise, you feel like you have so many things. 24 hours won't be enough. That's the usual attitude. But when you approach them, we say one thing at a time, and that done well. Efficiency improves. In a way, you have acceptance towards this task. You know that the shopping is boring. You have to go through these procedures. It is time consuming, but still, you just do it. Then it's a very nice experience. You know that you do it more efficiently. You do it with a peaceful mind. No restlessness in your mind. And you do it in a shorter time. So this is the benefit of the practice. When you see it, you know how to approach your day. You might have so many things, but you can't do them all at once. Instead, one thing at a time, and that done well, the efficiency improves. Sometimes you may have to do certain things, few things, multitasking, right? That too is fine. You have to find the proper balance, right? So that's the proper way. Now, even for me, sometimes when I have so many things lined up in a day, I feel this stress, you know, anxiety created in my mind. Again and again mentioning that this so many things are there, so many programs are there, what to do, how to do, those things come. But now I think that this day too shall end. You know, we just have to let it flow. And at the end of the day, somehow it's over. Whether it's successful or not, the day is over. Tomorrow is a fresh day. Right? So that attitude or that insight is important. This too shall pass. Right? Whether it could be an incident, whether it's a busy day, whether it's some presentation at your work, whatever. If you think that this will stay, if you think that they are here to stay, then anxiety is the result. Restlessness is the result. So that attitude is very important. You know, at the end of the day, whether you do certain things, whether you don't do, it's over. Again, tomorrow is a new day, a new opportunity. That approach you have to take. Otherwise, you are taking the same stress. Even to tomorrow, after sleeping, you wake up anxious. Now I have so many things. Things from yesterday, new things from today. So many things are there. So you can see how it is a never-ending process of anxiety. It's a never-ending loop of anxiety. No matter how many things you do, it won't be enough. 24 hours won't be enough, right? So that's how you have to approach. And at the end of the day, when you approach this way, you realize you become more and more efficient. Now you are even doing more things than earlier, still you feel you're at peace. So that's the real way of practicing. Thank you for sharing and continue your practice. So Nale, I think we are out of time today, so might not have time for the verbal questions.
Yes, that's right. We'll hand back to Namantha to end the session. I'm sorry, everyone. We will have the same topic next week, so you will have your questions probably directed to next week.
Okay, thank you so much, Sonali, and much merits to you, and also much merits to Bhante, and thank you. And also a lot of merits to the people who are writing these reports and sending through to us. Much merits to all of you, and please keep on writing them. And we will draw the session to a conclusion, and I would quickly like to share merits with Venerable Bhante and hope that his own practice improves, keeps improving further with the powerful merit of powerful impact of these merits. And I would also like to wish these merits to be shared with the Chief Bhante, Most Honorable Bhante Udayaregem Dhammajaya Mahatheru, for his insightful request to the initialize this program. And I would also like to share these merits with all the wonderful team of organizers who are working hard to sustain this program and contributing to many aspects of the program. And then I would also like to share merits with all of you who are joining the program in the Zoom session and also joining through the live stream. Much merits to all of you. I hope that all these merits will have a positive impact and these actions, these learnings will create a feeling of encouragement in your minds to continue to put in the effort continuously into the future. And with that, the session will continue again on next Saturday, same time. And I wish that all of you will be able to put these learnings into practice over the week and join again on the session next week. I would end the session now. Please have a happy and mindful week ahead. Thank you very much.